We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. It's all Pelicans, all the time. And welcome to In the Know. We have a wonderful, fun-filled show for you because our team has been winning so much, Graham. I don't know how to handle this plethora of joy and excitement. Every time I tune into a New Orleans Pelicans game, it's the most exciting thing that's happened to me in weeks. Don't you feel the same way?
Absolutely.
I'm trying to keep pretty lighthearted because obviously the team has been pretty bad recently. Since the last time I did a podcast, we've even had more injuries. And I honestly thought when I ended the last podcast that there really couldn't be any more injuries to talk about. Like, I really honestly felt like this team could not get more injured.
That was very naive of you.
It was. So now, like, Eric Gordon is done for the whole rest of the season, and Norris Cole is injured a lot. And
I don't even know where it came from. It's out of nowhere.
Yeah. It's just back hurts.
It's more like a by the way. These injuries don't get injured. It's just like a by the way. You're now going to be without this player.
Right. Yeah. And so now we have Orlando Johnson on the team.
Fantastic name.
It is very good. But there's they're 2-8 over their last 10. They've lost 3 in a row since the Sacramento win. And we have seen some absolutely crazy stat lines coming out of the Pelicans. So we're going to play a game right now rather than like go through all these games in detail and talking about how depressing such and such was, or spending an inordinate amount of time on the Sacramento Kings game because that's the one that they actually won. Let's instead, I want to go play a game with you, Graham.
Okay.
You pick the most appalling stat line. I'm going to give you, they're all from Pelicans, so most appalling stat line.
This is already, I can tell this is already going to be really fun.
Yeah, so you get 4 choices here. Okay. So the nominees for most appalling stat line of the last week are, you hear the drum roll? That was pretty good. Okay. Kendrick Perkins versus the Sacramento Kings. 17 minutes, 0 points, 0 field goal attempts, 0 free throw attempts, 0 offensive rebounds, 2 turnovers, and a personal foul.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah, so that made it so much better. All right, next appalling stat line. Ryan Anderson versus the Charlotte Hornets. Road Ryan Anderson, of course.
Road Ryan.
29 minutes, he had 0 of 8 field goals, 0 of 6 from the three-point line. Again, 0 offensive rebounds. He had 3 points. I guess that's not quite necessarily as bad, but we'll let you decide because, of course, he's a major part of the offense, right?
Huge. Huge.
Huge. All right. So next game. I can't even believe this one. 25 minutes. Alonzo G. 0 field goals attempted. 0 3-point attempted. 2 missed free throws. 0 assists. And 2 personal fouls for 0 points. And then I have one more for you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And this is actually just, it's kind of a conglomeration. Omer Asik, over the last 3 games, has had 12 minutes of play and 0 points.
Woo.
He did have like 10 rebounds, but we're not going to pay attention to that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So that many games, 12 minutes. Kendrick Perkins had 17 against Sacramento.
You know, I'm not going to vote against Kendrick. I can't. Perkins is – I've gained a lot of respect. I mentioned this the other day. Perkins – it wasn't that game. It wasn't the Kings game. It was the most recent Milwaukee game. And yeah. Anybody who watched this game can tell you it was clear Perkins was our MVP. I mean, if you really paid attention to it. The guy was amazing, setting screens left and right.
Yeah.
And I just can't. I can't vote for my guy Perkins.
He was plus 9 in that game. Anthony Davis is minus 24, so right there.
I was actually – I wanted to mention that, but I honestly have no – I can't – I don't have any thoughts on it. I can't explain it. I don't – it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
That's just
– Ryan Anderson was 5 of 18 and 1 of 9 from three-point line.
Right.
He did get 13 points, I guess. That's 13 points on 18 shots, that's efficient, right?
For this team.
I think actually the best stat line over the past 4 games has been Norris Cole 0 minutes, and
that's
I'm being serious.
That's one of the good ones. It's same with Gordon. You know,
right.
We got okay. We have some real guards in there now.
Yeah. So you got to pick one though.
Yeah.
My favorite. Let's see what you got.
I got Alonzo G. It's got to be that Memphis Grizzlies game, and it's not even because of his stat line. It's he put up that stat line. Well, guys that he probably were at some time guarding in Matt Barnes and
25 minutes.
Stevenson, you know.
He's up there for 25 minutes. Like, he was definitely guarding.
At some point guarding Stevenson, probably multiple times. Same thing with Barnes. I mean, and these guys just torched us. How do you let Matt Barnes get a triple-double on you? This makes no sense.
It's not even like just a triple double. Like it's not like one of those cheap triple doubles where you got 11 points, 11 rebounds, 11. He had 26 points en route to that. 26, 11, and 10. And that's not even like. And so then Lance Stevenson, 33 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block.
Lance looked like a star. Like, you know. What? Well, how does that happen? How does this happen again? I mean,
well, their other wing was it Jamichael Green? I don't even know what his first name is.
I don't know who he is.
He's been off their bench all season long. 21 points, 10 rebounds.
Killed it.
Just
everyone.
Holy cow!
If you're playing against one of our wing defenders, if you play against the Pelicans, you're going to have a good night. If you play offense. There's no ifs. If you play against New Orleans, you're gonna do well on offense.
Well, I mean, let's just put it nice and easy out there. Well. Sacramento scored 112. Milwaukee Bucks scored 103. The Grizzlies, they did get 121, but it was overtime. But oh wait, no. 22 points in the overtime.
Yeah, they
scored 22 points.
I don't know how that happened.
5 minutes.
Teams feel like they see us and they're just like they know. Oh, right. We're gonna It's okay. We got this. And they're right, all right every
so,
time.
It's like, I got to ask you the question.
Yes.
Is Dante Cunningham a small forward?
Totally. We play him there, right? So, and that's the only reasonable answer. He played there, so he is. Therefore, he is, right?
Because when G wasn't guarding these guys, Cunningham was. All week long, Cunningham was small forward.
He got 46. He got 45 minutes and 59 seconds in the Memphis games. He played for 46 minutes. How does that guy play for 40? How do you? I mean, that sucks that you have to play him for 46 minutes.
That's when you play Omer Asik 13 minutes, and he's plus 8 and 5 rebounds. Because you know when you're against the Grizzlies and they're starting a center like Ryan Holland, it's like that's just a matchup nightmare for Asik. I'll there's no way
destroy
he could
destroy Asik. Holland's is a very respected name. In NBA circles, according to sources that I have, people really like this guy.
Hollins was signed by the Grizzlies, I think, like 3 weeks ago off the yeah. out of the D League.
Amazing signing. Fantastic signing. People are envious.
I mean, there's really not a whole lot of good to talk about these games.
I mean, Dante, he is like, Jason wrote about it in his piece, right, that he's, you know, there's been no improvement from anyone other than Anderson's, like, his shot, like his turnaround shot's gotten pretty reliable.
Yeah.
Even if it is, he takes it against smaller guards almost every single time, but he does make it a good amount of times.
Yeah, I would actually, I disagree a little bit there. I actually feel like Davis has improved a little bit, and I'm sure people are going to be just thinking I'm insane.
No, I think he's playing in a completely different way.
Right.
No, he's not the same guy he was last year, and he's improved in that role. I think I was looking at it, like post All-Star break, he's averaging like 28 and 12. He's not shooting as well, but he's shooting them from farther out still, so.
Right, and he's actually an offensive hub. Like This is one thing everybody has to stop and check themselves on, because everybody said they wanted Anthony Davis to be getting the ball more. And while his usage rate hasn't really changed that much, he is getting the ball more. He is, as in, he is being receiving the ball and being asked to do something once he receives the ball. And last year, he didn't get that. Usually he was finishing pick and rolls. He was finishing pick and pops. He was moving without the ball, receiving it for a quick shot. He very rarely was put in a situation where he was just given the ball and then everybody said, okay, let's see what you can do.
Yeah.
So they're doing that now. It's not great results, but you can't expect this guy. Like, at what point in his career before this year has he been asked to do that?
Exactly. And he's high playing school with guys who in 25 minutes don't take any shot as covered. So Davis is he's gonna be asked to take that shot a lot, you know. He hasn't had to do it before. And you know what? He's still doing fine. Top 10, you know, player at 23, you know, dropped like 60 and 20 the other day, you know, whatever. It's
yeah.
You know, but people want to say he's like regressed. You know, it's just it's different, that's all.
And you know, so like, and this is like a necessary thing too. Like, one of the most overlooked things I think about Kevin Durant's, you know, career is his very first season, they're playing, like, I think it was PJ Carlissimo was playing him at shooting guard.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, 6'11", playing shooting guard. But part of what it did was, A, it made their team really suck, which was good. But B, it made him learn to attack off the dribble, to do things with the ball in his hands. And and that's the only way you really learn is in game time. So, you know, right now, I'm actually pretty happy that we see Davis getting the ball. And recently he hasn't been getting it quite as much because nobody honors anybody on this team.
Right.
He's just having trouble getting the ball delivered to him at times. But it's something we need to see, and it will help him once a better team is around him in the future, I'm sure. So Jrue Holiday, wanted to bring up Jrue. He had been on a tear. He's still got some really nice games sprinkled in here. He's had a couple semi, like the last game in Milwaukee, it was a dud.
Yeah. I think he was still, he hit that like high, right? He had the career high night. And then the next night he had something like 27 shots.
Yep. You know? But he had 34 points.
He did. Like, it wasn't a bad night, but I think he was pushing, you know, a little bit too hard.
Yeah, and he also had 7 turnovers.
Yeah, and then the next game, the Milwaukee game, was just where it kind of just all, like, fell apart. He couldn't hit anything. So I think he hit his, like, that career high night, you know, and then tried to, like, keep it going at that level. But, A, he's got no help back there. And, like, B, I don't think he's, I don't know, good enough to push it at that level that he played.
That so,
game, like through a couple game span. I mean, maybe he could go off, I guess, for like 3 games and have that good, I guess, but I don't know. I haven't seen it. So,
yeah. Well, so let me ask you this question. Because I'm just looking at the Memphis Grizzly game. Okay.
Okay.
We have Anthony Davis and we have Drew Holiday. Then the rest of the crew that's around him, Dante Cunningham, Omer Asik, Tony Douglas, Brian Anderson, Alonzo G, Luke Babbitt, Orlando Johnson. Those are the guys who got minutes. Perkins didn't get minutes in that game. And of course, Cole, Ajinsa, and Gordon were injured.
Right.
So those 9 are the guys who got minutes in that game.
Yeah.
What percentage of that roster, the people other than Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis, are we going to see on the team next year?
Okay. Well, okay. I got to count. All right. Math time. Here we go. All right.
7 people.
You're saying 7?
There are 7 people. So how many of those 7 do you think are gonna probably be around?
Let's see. I'm okay with. Okay, let's see. I would be okay with 5. I would want 5.
Really? You want 5 of them back?
I mean, I would be okay with 5. That's a realistic number. Like, I hope for this, just based, you know, like, I would hope we move Omer, but I don't think we're going to move Omer. I would be okay with having Omer back next year, and I think he probably will be, so I would count him. I know we just talked about Dante, but I'll keep Dante. You know?
If
he's not playing, you know, Memphis game, boom, 46 minutes right here. There's no way this guy should be playing 46 minutes. You put him in like, you know, 10, 15, I'm okay, you know.
Okay. All right. So I still at one point on Twitter, I asked the question, what do people see in Dante? Because I'm really, really struggling here. So and all people ever say is intangibles.
He's got great headband.
So if somebody's doing all the little things, shouldn't something show up somewhere? Like all of his stats, like Shane Battier was the king of the non-counting stat guys, because his numbers were always like 8 points and 5 rebounds and 3 assists and a steal and a block.
Right.
And you know, it wasn't anything impressive because he did that in like 28 minutes or 30 minutes. Sometimes he got 10 points and it was amazing. But then you would look at the advanced stats, like what happened when he's on the floor, and he was always the king of plus minus. He always had an amazing RPM. Dante Cunningham is in the bottom fifth of this league in those stats. And so we were talking about this before the game. So you were saying he's better since the All-Star game.
Yeah. So yeah, 50% from the field, 36 from 3, you know?
Okay. But how many numbers are, like, how many points? How many rebounds?
7. Okay, but this is the thing. 32 minutes a game. All right. Way too many. But 7 points, less than 3 rebounds. How is he getting
less than
3 rebounds in 32 minutes? He's basically a power forward. You know?
That's Eric Gordon numbers.
Yeah, Eric Gordon.
These are the numbers that I would.
Amount of time average the same amount of rebounds. Yeah, that's I hadn't even, this had not occurred to me, and this is just, that's way. My mind is blown on Dante right now.
Like Eric Gordon was like last year the 3rd worst person in basketball at getting rebounds.
Really? I didn't know that.
Not 3rd worst among guards. He was the 3rd worst. I guess guards are the ones who are the worst. Yeah. So I'm kind of. But he was the 3rd worst person at getting rebounds, and And Dante Cunningham was putting up similar numbers to him.
He boxes out, all right. He does the dirty work. It doesn't show up.
I'm sorry. All right, anyways. So you wouldn't mind us. You think Cunningham's the bee's knees. Yeah. I don't know do bees actually have knees, but if they do, he's it.
He's okay.
So who else? Like Douglas? Douglas, is he okay?
Well, no.
No, okay.
But okay, not Douglas.
Ryan Anderson.
This is the thing. I don't want Anderson back. I don't. You know, I like him. I like Anderson as a player, as a person, as like a locker room, you know, whatever, anything. But it's just, you know, at some point, you know, you just kind of got to do something different. You just got to move on. You know, it's not worth it to, if he's going to command the salary that everybody keeps talking about, you know, he's going to get like $18 million a year or whatever. I don't think it's worth it to commit that much to that. I mean, it's clear that we have a huge problem fixing the defense, you know, and that's like that's been something that's been going on for years. Yeah. And he's been here that whole time, and everyone knows he's not a good defender. And, you know, he's not been that guy that he was before the injury, and that sucks. He's still a really good offensive player, but
yeah,
I don't know. You can replace that. You can replace what he gives us and pick up something that might fit a little bit better. I don't know. Yeah, it's just time, you know. It's just time.
No, I got what you're saying, and so I will definitely be talking more about what I think we should be doing in the off season when we get a little closer.
Yeah.
Like there are scenarios where I'd like to see Anderson come back, and I think there's things you have to have. Like I would try if I was Del Demps, who I'm not sure is going to be back, but whatever. If I was Del Demps and I was planning my offseason and Ryan Anderson, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, I would go to Ryan Anderson and say, look, I'd put it on the table. I'm like, I'm going to try to do this. I have your bird rights. If I can do that, I would love to have you come back and join. Like, there are a couple moves you could make before you sign him. He's got a cap hold, which is sizable, but not what it's going to be.
You can work around it, yeah.
Right. So I would ask him if he was willing to do that, but if he's just going to be like, nah, I'm going out there first day of free agency, then I'm fine. But I'll talk more about that,
yeah,
too.
We still got... Yeah. How many games do we have left? 18? 18?
Yeah, 18 games. So, just let's talk a little bit about Davis and Holiday. I've had this conversation with a bunch of different people. I want to get your take on it. Drew Holiday, second banana on a good team, not championship contending. Let's pull back expectations and have a little bit of reality check here. Like, our team is, let's say next year is the 7 seed. Something happens. We manage to pull that off. Is Drew Holiday the second best player on that team? Is he capable?
I think he is, but that's about the ceiling, like 7th seed, I guess, on a team where he is the second best guy. He puts up, like you've seen it, everybody's, you know, he's put up good numbers lately. And I mean, this whole year, if you look at his, like, you know, but if you look at his last couple years, every year it's like a Pelican. It's basically borderline like the same stuff. He shoots around a little bit under 45% from the field. Pretty good assist rate, low turnovers. Like, he does good things. He defends well, you know, but he doesn't have that uber, you know, efficiency that like all these all-stars have, you know, the way they all, it really like boils down to it. Like, I see it, like they shoot like 50% of the field. Like, you, when they take a shot, it's like 50-50, it's going to go in, and he's not really that guy. And until you get someone better than him, I think like that 7th or 8th seed is like going to be the ceiling on it. So I think you have to find a way to get someone better than him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a really hard time deciding, how good Drew Holiday will be once he's not with the ball in his hands all the time, because that's what a lot of people are focusing on, the fact that he's scoring a lot right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually that impressed with his ability to play off the ball. Like he's not really a spot-up shooter. So when he catches it, he looks to attack and do something, and he's not always that awesome at breaking down the guy, like the defense as like a secondary guy. He kind of catches the ball and hesitates. And
yeah.
That's one of the things that always has bugged me about this team is, like, there's nobody on this team who doesn't catch the ball and look for their shot.
Yeah.
Eric Gordon does it. Tyreke Evans does it. Tyreke Evans does it for several seconds before he even decides to make a move. Anthony Davis does it. Ryan Anderson does it. Like this team has a very high level of I'm the finisher, screw the rest of you guys. And I think that's one of the major things that's going to change, which is why when you say something like Ryan Anderson needs to go, like,
it's not that he needs to go, you know, but
if he does, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah. If you're trying to establish, like, build, you know, a culture, a team, like a style or a system of play, and like everything that you've had so far hasn't worked at all, you know, maybe get somebody in there who might. I don't know. I'm not a
yeah.
basketball expert. That's just the common sense I've got on it.
All right, so let us move on to the next thing I wanted to bring up, and this is in honor of Michael McNamara. I'm sure that he's extremely not pleased that this is something that that we have to talk about at the end of the season. But in previous seasons, before last season when the team made it, he always had, like, when we were going for Anthony Davis, and then the next year when we had a draft pick, he always gave a list of teams that you should be rooting for to win. And so I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to run through, in my opinion, five teams that we should all be rooting for. When you wake up in the morning and you're going to go check the basketball stats, and, you know, you watched the Pelicans last night, or maybe you didn't watch Pelicans because it hurts you too much to watch Pelicans right now, you should still look in the box score and see, did the Pelicans lose? And you're hoping the Kings won, the Knicks won, the Nuggets won, Orlando won, or Milwaukee won. And if any of those teams won, you're a winner today.
I can't agree with the Sacramento one. I just, it's my own personal thing. It's just to fall so far to that we were a playoff team last year with such the expectations that now, and now we're even below Sacramento. It's just, I don't know. I can't handle it. It's too depressing. I can't. And that's a terrible thing to say about Sacramento, because I think that, you know, yeah, they've not had a good time. I don't want to make fun of them. You know, they're a struggling franchise organization, but to think that we're worse than they are now, too depressing. I just can't, yeah. I can't accept it.
And actually, I didn't realize this. I haven't been paying close enough attention, because I had kind of just looked at the standings. I don't know how familiar everybody is with the bottom of the league standings. I'm sure some of you are pretty familiar with them, because you probably go and look to see where we are and how our lottery odds are working out. The Timberwolves have gone 4-6 over the last 10.
Yeah.
Like for a while there, they had like a nice like 5-game lead in the loss column on us. Like I was pretty much sure we weren't going to catch, quote unquote, the Timberwolves. We're only down 4 in the lost column. We've got a real...
We're going to lose. I'm telling you, we're going to lose a lot of games coming up here real quick.
Yeah.
We're playing Monday's Golden State, but then we're playing... Hold on, I have it right here in front of me. We're playing, like, Golden State. Then we play the Kings. So we play the Kings. We have a chance to, you know, if they beat us, just, you know, already... I think we already own the... I think we have the season series against them. I think that's okay, though. So I'll be okay. All right, if we lose to them this time for the sake of tanking but hold the season series, then I'm okay.
These rationalizations are important.
This is important. This is very important. So we're going to lose to the Warriors, probably. You could lose to the Kings. Then you're probably going to... You could lose to the Blazers, another playoff team. Then the Clippers, another playoff team. Then the Heat. Then the Pacers. Then the Raptors. that's a lot of losses right there in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, like at this time, like next podcast, or maybe two podcasts from now, we could be talking about a 24-46
team. Yeah. We might not win a game until Saturday, March 26th.
That is so bad.
Yeah.
So that's good though. I'm gonna.
That's so bad, but it's good.
I'm not gonna burst into tears on the podcast. But I swear,
we'll get some wins to end here. I didn't think. But speaking of looking at the standings, I did not realize the Suns were as far down as they were.
Yeah.
They had high this season too.
So you know what I really hope happens.
What?
I really hope that. That Anthony Davis, like, when is their next game against Cleveland? I think we're done with Cleveland, aren't we?
We're done.
I was really hoping that he might, like, we might go to Cleveland, and he might go decide to hang out at LeBron's house, which has a giant statue of LeBron in his rotunda.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know if people knew that, but I don't know if he still has the same house, but the house that he built in Cleveland originally, he had a 9-foot statue of himself put in his front hall, entrance hall, which... That was like the one fact that made me decide I could never be a LeBron James fan. I can respect him as a basketball player, but I can't be a fan.
I'm trying to think if there was a scenario, and like ever a scenario in which I would say yes, build. I want the statue myself as a statue right here in front of my house.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine a scenario where I'm signing off on this idea or this.
It's crazy.
Like, imagine the guy like putting it down and having to. Sign it. Like, here, you need to sign this, sir, while they put the statue of you. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So what I want to happen is he goes to Cleveland, goes to talk to LeBron, and LeBron be like, hey, yeah, like, last year, I took 2 weeks off in the middle of the year, just in case.
That's just what you got. That's the way to lead right there.
Yeah.
Take 2 weeks off in the middle of the season.
And he's like, and you know, you're in bad shape. Like, why don't you just take a couple weeks off? And Davis is like, this time, I'm gonna take care of myself. Next year won't happen again. And he goes on vacation for 2 weeks, end of the year, and we just lose out.
Nice. Some of the, I mean, much more likely that there's just some unexplained injury.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the more depressing side.
So the question is, and you know, people. Like the amount of distrust now from our, this is a serious note, for our front office has gotten to the point where you can't really have a conversation with a lot of people anymore about like what plans are this summer, because like the conversation devolves into, well, I hope they just sign Eric Gordon so for an extra year so that they don't screw us by signing Eric Gordon or someone else even more crappy for 5 years. That is where we are now.
It's bad. I haven't had a conversation about it in a while. It's literally people are so down on it that, yeah, we might as well re-sign all our own people because there's not any chance of not re-signing our own people and signing anybody else. I don't know. There's not any conversation to be had almost. It just dissolves into nothing.
So,
it's very depressing.
So the question really is, let's say we get to the end of the season and it is obvious this team is not in the playoffs, even though they made, Alvin Gentry apologize a few weeks ago when he said they weren't going to make the playoffs. If it's now April 1st and this team has 24 wins, or no, they have 24 now. So let's say they've got like 3 wins in the month of March, okay. 27. Is there any chance they're shutting anybody on this team down just for lottery position? Do you think that that's going to enter their minds, or do you think they're going to be still thinking?
Yeah, I think it could enter their minds. I think.
How do you think they weigh that?
Like a little knock, right?
So you're Dell Demps.
Yeah.
And. You know you're in the crapper right now, right? You're worried about your job.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that winning 4 games in April is going to save your job?
Absolutely not.
Are you going to try to do it anyways in the case that it might? Or are you going to go and say, look,
well,
we just got to go for lottery position now?
Would that, you have to know that you're going to be the one making that lottery decision. Okay. I guess, you know, if you want to put your, okay, I want to save my job, so I need to A, win this game, win more games this year, or B, get a better draft pick for next year. Well, you have to know that you have that chance to start establishing something for next year. So,
I guess really what you're saying is that's going to tell us, like, if the team is still running all of its best players out at the beginning of April and trying to win games, then Dell Demps thinks he's going to be canned.
Maybe. Could be. It's true. Didn't think about it that way. Well, I mean, look at this past game. I didn't get to see the, like, pre or post-game interviews. I normally watch them on the – they have them on, like, the Pelicans app or whatever, but – They didn't start Drew, right? And they had, like, a weird – didn't they start Luke Babbitt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're just going to – like, come April, they're just going to – they're going to be going all out for wins. They're trying to, I don't know, figure other things out, you know. More than just getting – and I hate this. It's, you know, you see it on Twitter, like, or anything. It's just right there. It's everything. The only thing that matters – for the Pelicans right now is just getting minutes for Drew and Davis. Like, that's the only single justifiable thing that the organization should be doing with the Pelicans on the court. Well, I mean, you have to see who you're going to possibly bring back, or, and you still have to try to establish, you know, the offense. They haven't done that. It's not even top half of the league anymore. So,
well, considering the number of injuries, that's not surprising at all.
Yeah, it's not surprising, but you want to get the team playing a certain way, or at least capable of playing a certain way, even if it's not like that. Well,
I don't even know if they can with this roster.
It's
so bad.
They did. They had a stretch in that Milwaukee game, and this is Perkins. He's the man, right? This is why Perkins is the best. He should be running our point. No, I'm kidding. But he was in there, and it was like him, Babbitt, and Cunningham were switching in and out. It was just to close the second quarter. It was like for nine minutes in the second quarter, where it was, I think it was Drew, G, Perkins, Cunningham, and Babbitt, and then I think Douglas got in there a little bit too. But we went on, like, we were down like 13, and then went on like a 7-0 run, and then tied it up before going down and right before the half. And Davis was out this whole time. And it was just those guys, and they actually started, I think, on a 7-0 run, it was like a Dante 3 and then two layups. And then the next bucket was like a layup. And the next bucket was like another 3 and layup. And, like, they were actually, like, passing it and moving it around. And I'm like, okay, even if it's clear that they're playing against the second string of Milwaukee, who's just as bad a team as we are, they're actually, like, starting to do the things and move the ball and, like, attack the rim that they're supposed to do. So, like, I mean, you got to look at those things. Those things, it's not like those things don't matter. Don't, you know, playing Drew and Davis is not the only sole purpose of the whole team now for the last 18 games, you know.
Yeah. So, and I understand where you're coming from. Like, people are saying they just got to play those two guys together, got to play those two guys together. And on one hand, absolutely, you want to see those two guys play together. You want to know how they work off of each other. But if, like...
they've been together 3 years, and it's not been, like, the best 3 years, and it's been, like, half of both two of them, you know, and even half, basically, like, half this season, like, the minute restriction or anything. But with, like, over 20 games with, like, a difference of, like... what, 3 to 5 minutes per game, like that, you're, I don't know, there's not like a, you can't put like a number on it, like a ratio of like how many games you need to play before you develop X amount of chemistry to play well, you know, it's...
This is where, like, I don't know what the tipping point is, and I don't think anybody's ever even tried to do a study this way, but, should we be gunning for 1,000 minutes together? If the two of them play 1,000 minutes together, and they don't hit that threshold. Instead, they play 900 minutes together because they're not starting.
Yeah.
Is that 100 minutes going to make it a failure, and now they can't play together next year? Like, it's – I don't really understand the focus down to, like, the nitty-gritty. If they're getting significant time together, which they are on the floor.
Especially
in every game.
In the fourth, they're playing a lot of minutes in the fourth quarter together, you know? And
they're
not getting, they're getting important minutes, you know? It's
right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if I care that much. Like, it is, I'll just put it this way. It is weird that Drew Holiday isn't starting.
Yeah.
That's just, that's weird. At this point, there is no reason why Drew Holiday shouldn't be in the starting lineup.
There's got to be a reason, though. There's a reason, you know. There's got to be a reason. They had to get a look at Luke Babbitt last game. They needed one. That's the only, they're definitely thinking about bringing that guy back. There you go.
It is weird. I don't get it at all.
He doesn't. If you're looking at Babbitt to come back next season, why are you? He doesn't need to start. it doesn't make any sense for him.
And you know, right? If this team had Bryce DeJean Jones and I don't know what other young guy, Ish Smith, then maybe you could have Drew Holiday still on the bench. But like, it's not even like they're having him come off the bench so they can see if there's some young guys who are developing.
No,
there are no young guys on this team right now. We all know pretty much what everybody is. So it is weird. I don't get it. But then I don't get a lot of what Gentry does at times.
Yeah.
At this point, I can't really complain at his rotations that much. Like, I guess I can still. Omer Asik, you should not be playing Omer Asik that few minutes when we have this kind of roster. And if you are, that tells me 100% that it is. There's never going to be a need for Omer Asik on this team. Like, it was the biggest, dumbest mistake. If his estimate of his game is that low.
I mean, Nick said it, and it was like two pod when he and Jason were on. I don't remember if it was last week or the week before. Where he mentioned in the offseason that Asik could be in the Bogut role.
Yeah.
Should have known, right? Right at that moment that this guy is not going to be in the future plans.
But, like, how do you have that disconnect?
I don't know.
Like, Gentry was already there. They were talking to each other. And if Gentry has that low opinion of his game, then there's no reason you should be signing this guy at all. Like, there's no, he is being paid $10 million and you're going to play him 8 minutes game. Like, if you got him, he does provide some value. Use that value. Like, I really do think, like, he is capable of playing 24 minutes of good basketball against almost any team in the league. So get it out of
him. Perkins is playing.
Yes.
So there's a role for him to fill there. There's minutes for him.
Yeah, and essentially what that tells me is Gentry's eye is 100% offensively focused. Like,
yeah.
Which is weird, saying that with Perkins as part of the conversation, but like the reason why Omer Asik doesn't play is because his mistakes on the offensive end are in your face and obvious and dramatic, that he can't do this and this, and what he does on the defensive end. Like, if you go look at all of the advanced stats, he is still like a positive 3 RPM on the defensive end, which is great.
That's pretty good.
Anyways, let's not go down that path.
Like, yeah, you look at it and you say, well, you can't be mad that he's not playing, you know, because people want to lose.
That's true.
So if he's a positive impact, good. Get him out of there.
Okay. So let me ask you, are you 100% on board with a tank, a full-on tank?
Never. I will hold out till my dying breath.
You just want them to try to win as much as they possibly can, and if they end up falling...
The thing is, like, what is, like... I know it's going to be like a tight race for picks, I guess, type, you know, but
so let's just,
like,
let's,
they've been trying to win games.
Let's quantify that for you real quick. If they go on a 4-game winning streak, basically they have the potential to rise from the 6th pick to the 10th or 11th pick in this draft.
Jeez.
That's how tight that is.
Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you, root for the Kings, Knicks, Nuggets, Magic, and Bucks. Root for them. We want them to win a lot.
Okay, I'm going to root for all of us until...
Oh, that makes sense.
April.
Okay.
How about that? Because we have this list of all losable, we should lose games. But I want them to come out and try to win. It'd be really cool to beat the Spurs, right? We play them March 30th.
I notice you don't even say the Golden State Warriors.
No, I forget about that. Go ahead. I mean, I honestly wouldn't even want to beat them, because then I might it would skew my thoughts, because then we will have beaten the Spurs. We beat them already, right? Beat the Cavs, and then we beat the Warriors this year. Like, how does that happen? How do we beat all three of those guys? You know, it's going to give me hope about how good we are.
The only six games the Warriors have lost this entire season have been to bad teams.
That's true.
So you have hope.
Yeah, so, okay, then I'd rather lose, so I am not really a bad team. That's the real judge. If you beat the Warriors, you're a bad team. I don't want to beat the Warriors.
Yes. Okay. So we need to lose to the Warriors to prove we're a good team.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
This is what I've gotten to. This is how I keep my season interesting now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So, I gotta ask you the question. Okay. So, do you watch any college basketball at all?
Oh, I used to. I have had no time to follow anything. I used to be Duke. I'm a Dukie.
Yeah.
My dad went there, so I was born into it. But they're this year. So.
So you haven't had realizing how bad this team is. You haven't gone and looked a little bit at some of the college prospects.
I tried to. A little bit, and it's like you said, we're that close to falling, you know, down to 10. We're not going to get one of those guys there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I think most of the mock drafts have us getting someone like Chris Dunn, or what's his name, Jacob Plotel or Plotel or Pottle or whatever.
I've read it. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah. So you know, those guys are fine basketball players, but.
I think we'll be, if we get like a top seven, I think we'll get someone totally useful, and I think we should keep it. Everyone says all the time, well, you know, if you don't get that top, you know, top three or whatever, you're only going to get like an okay guy. But an okay guy sounds really nice right now.
That's right. He's not Alonzo G.
He's not Alonzo G. He's not Dante Cunningham. You know, he's not Tony Douglas, he's not Norris Cole. You can go down the list. Who else have we had this year? Jimmer played this year. Nate Robinson, did you hear about this? He's trying to play for like the NFL.
Yes.
He wants to try out. He played for us this year. He got in games for us this year.
He started a game.
Yeah.
When we went 1-11 to start the season, because everybody was hurt, and I still remember very clearly, like on like December 1st, I got on a podcast and I said, "There's no way like this team is gonna get healthy. There's no way that this continue this way."
No, and that's the thing. Cow. We've had such bad injuries the past couple of years. This year might have been like the worst one.
Yeah,
and like it's not Holiday wasn't hurt all year, so that doesn't really count. But he was on a very heavy minute restriction for over half of it, right? Or at least close to half of it.
Right. Yes. Like Tyreek Evans played less games this year than Jrue Holiday played last year, and Quincy Pondexter didn't play even a minute.
Year. He was a huge reason we even made the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, all right, so you've already kind of run the schedule. Let's go really quick. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, we have the Golden State Warriors, Sacramento Kings, Portland Trail Blazers, Los Angeles Clippers. What do you see our record coming out on Sunday for this upcoming
week? We're going to beat the Clippers.
Okay.
I remember – you remember that year we had – like we rolled out Darius Miller at starting point guard?
Yes.
That was against the Clippers, and we won that game. It's going to be like the same thing. Orlando Johnson's going to go off, where he's going to be around. His 10-day might be up by then.
Yeah, I think it'll be up by then. And the way he's playing,
they're going to. Well, if his 10 days up, they're going to bring someone else in because they need a body. So,
that's right.
Whoever that is, it's going to have a fantastic game against the Clippers.
Yeah, somebody asked me if we could bring Larry Drew. People really love that summer league team.
It's just like the. Illusion of hope,
yeah.
You know.
So just for those people who were wondering where it happened to Larry Drew, he actually went overseas. He played a bunch of games for a Turkish team. I'm pretty sure it's Turkish. Might have been Greek. But anyways, he wasn't even their starting guard. He was their backup. So So he was able to go to a powerhouse team in Turkey and not get the starting
pick up a check.
Yeah. So we're not getting Larry Drew because I think he's still over there.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, no Larry Drew to 10-day. Sorry, guys.
Oh well.
But anyways, we'll see who they do bring in. I know some people think like Ennis, and there's a bunch of other names that people are all excited to try, but
they never they bring in someone you never expect,
right?
Because you've never heard of him, most likely, or something. It's yeah. Well, that's what we have to look forward to. A mystery. It's a mystery.
So you're calling 1-4 or 1-3?
Let's call 1-4 or wait, 1-2.
Yeah, 1-3. It's three games.
Yeah. 1-3. I guess I'm going to be rooting for losses to two of them. So, yeah, I guess I've been tricked into rooting to losses. I'm going to root for a loss to Golden State Warriors to prove that we're not bad. And I got to root for a loss for the Kings for the tank. And then I'm rooting for wins the next two.
Okay. So I am also going 1-3. I think they're going to manage to win one of these games.
Yeah.
I actually think that Portland is the most likely one because it's not in Portland. The Pelicans go to Portland to die.
Yes.
I think at home they have a better chance, and Ryan Anderson, like the first two games are on the road, so Ryan Anderson might come back and turn into home Ryan Anderson for a game. And we could win that Portland game.
It's crazy that it is 2 years now that he's had this. But
yeah.
Can't.
Yeah, and actually, for the first part of the season, it wasn't so pronounced, but it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
And maybe he's just getting tired. Maybe like he stopped the CrossFit training that we saw the pictures of early in the beginning of the season.
I don't know. It seems like it'd be pretty easy to carry that through a long NBA season. CrossFit. Probably slacking off over there.
Yeah, I think he's just, or maybe he's just already checked out and is on his way to some sunny other place like Phoenix.
Oh my God, Phoenix with the God medical staff.
Which, by the way, like, when does their reputation finally fall apart?
I don't know. I don't get this. They have the best medical staff in the world and have worse injury luck than we do this year.
But yeah, right. Bledsoe's like injured all the time. And maybe medical staffs don't have a whole lot to do with how healthy people stay.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
Maybe they help just a little bit.
And,
anyways, okay. So thanks for listening to In the Know, our bitter take on this team and how bad it's looked. Hopefully, you've picked your favorite horrible stat line. And if you don't like any of those stat lines, you can just go look at the Memphis game and look at the stat lines of Lance Stephenson.
There's a lot of games that you can look at.
and just look at how bad the opponent, how amazing those opponent stat lines are, and wonder how is that even possible?